that a guy wrote and his wife, and they wrote it when his child was in the hospital, and they didn't know that his child was going to make it. He was standing there, and he said a mountain of fear stood in front of him in unbelief. And all of a sudden, out of his spirit, because he was seeking God, because he knew who God was, and because he knew who God was in his time of need, it came up out of his spirit. We're going to sing that song tonight. We're going to attempt to sing that song tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the middle of my enemies. No, we didn't give them to.
No.
That's our fault.
Amen,
that's
amen.
Fault
but I tell you what, I'm telling you, that is one of the strongest positions you're going to have to take with God ever. Is that in the middle of a storm, in the middle of your worst moments, instead of raising your complaints and raising your fear and raising your anger in the natural, you're going to have to get to the place where in the middle of your darkest moment, you can raise a hallelujah and a praise unto your God. I tell you what, I know someone recently who was under a huge financial burden. And when people started coming and telling them, oh, wait, it didn't get better, it's getting worse, this person began to praise. They begin to praise and dance and shout and say, yes. Hallelujah, Jesus!
Yes.
You've already solved this.
Yes.
And they told me later, a few months after the battle was over and things came through and everything was taken care of, they said, you know, not only did we get the money we needed, but we ended up with more money than the situation called for. They said, and what's really crazy about it, hallelujah, God is doing miracles even in our midst.
Come on.
Amen. But God said, they said, you know what's crazy about it is they said, for the first time ever, when that problem came our way, they said, I got to tell you honestly, I didn't have fear. They said, you know, I just had to shake myself and say, you've been in this thing, you've been in this battle for years. And every time God has brought you out. Now, sometimes it's taken a whole lot longer because we stress out, we flesh out, we anger out, and we provoke all of this atmosphere that we help the devil's plan be fulfilled. Then we shake ourselves and start digging out. But what would happen if when the battle got started, we just came out with a shout and a praise from the very beginning?
Yes.
You would see God quickly recover. Sometimes God recovers, but then he's got to take the offense off. He's got to take the brokenness off because we stirred and created a whole lot of mess before we ever faced our fears and faced our battle and said, hey, the devil's coming. Let's get with this thing and let's run towards it. We would be like David and run towards our Goliath with a zeal. How quickly would our mountains and our giants come down? And how quickly could we get to the place where we enjoy the spoils and riches of God?
Amen. Amen.
So we're going to sing that song. Be ready to sing that song on Sunday with words to it. Because in the middle of your battle, when you hear that first bad report, I'm telling you, it's time for you to stand up. It's time for you to take authority.
Amen.
Ronnie, stand up for a minute.
Please.
Come out here, please. Do you have two good feet that you can walk on? Has it always been that way?
One time, no.
One time, no, right?
Right.
One time, I'll never forget, Sister Deanna called me. And she said, Pastor Phil, Ronnie's had a bad accident. She said, now, it's not as bad as it could be because the toe of the trailer landed right on his foot. And I didn't want to tell her, Sister Deanna, it can't get no worse than that because that means all the weight of that whole trailer is on his foot. He had a stainless steel boot. It started crushing that boot. They had to move a tow motor in to get it off of you, didn't they?
Well, not quite.
Okay, but close to something
well,
like that.
Well, they went to get the tow motor, but God must have given a couple guys strength. They took a bar and picked about 4,000 to 5,000 pounds. That's how much you get my
boot. Whoa, that is even more extraordinary. But remember, I came to see you guys, and the doctor, tell a little bit of the story. You weren't having no feeling in there.
I wasn't having no really no pain, no feeling in it, because the foot was completely dead. And they said they'd either have to cut it off, or they talked about sticking me through hyperbaric chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about they had to get this okayed by workman's comp, this and that. To come up and pray and things like that, but they
Amen.
Did stick me through hyperbaric.
Yep. Amen.
And of course they stuck me on pain. pain medicine.
Yep.
Which I'm glad.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Because it's bummed me around a couple of times and everything from pain.
But because the life came back in it, didn't it?
Yes, oh yeah.
But I remember that I was coming up and I was just worshiping. I knew it was bad. And I was praying in the Holy Ghost and worshiping, and I had this worship music on. And all of a sudden, when I was getting to the hospital, the Lord said, these guys are tithers. And these guys have loved me for a long time. They said, and he said, and I'm going to restore what the devil's trying to steal, and it will not have the effect. And here I come in, I was all excited, worshiping one night. I came in there and said, oh, you're going to be healed. And they said, Pastor, we're glad you're here, because the doctor just left and said his foot's actually dead. Said they don't know what's going to happen. And I said, well, our first sign is going to be that this workman's comp and everything's going to come through. They're going to put your foot in that chamber. I said, you better be ready, baby, buddy, because feeling's going to come back. Now, I didn't know it was going to come back in pain, or maybe I would have said, please don't bring it back in pain. But the pain was great.
After I got out of the hospital, and I still had to go through the chamber.
Yes.
But I remember one Thursday night, sitting over here.
Yes.
And you come over and lay the hand and take that pain out. And that night was the last time I took a pain.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is our Redeemer, isn't
Amen.
He?
Amen. That's who we got to look for.
Amen.
Yep. He's a creator.
He's a
creator.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm thankful tonight, Mr. Ronnie, that you can still get around on 2 feet.
She loves
me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You know, sometimes the Lord will build our faith, because I got to tell you, I thank God I wasn't there for the doctor's story. And I thank God that I got to come in after man spoke, God spoke. And I want to remind you that when you're in the middle of a battle, if you can gather yourself and you can gird yourself, and you can begin to speak what God has spoken, even though you are seeing different. Because you're going to, at that time, we were seeing different. We were feeling different. I didn't even want to tell Mr. Ronnie, but when I looked at that foot, it had started to turn black. I'm telling you, I didn't want to tell him, but I thought, well, this thing really is dead. But I just remembered what God had told me. God had said, Philip, they've served me all these years. They're faithful tithers. And I'm going to rebuke what the devourers tried to steal from me. And I thought, that's right. Ronnie has worked hard and faithful for years. And how would it be at the end of his career, on a job that he's given everything, that the devil would win a battle and take his foot? We're not going to stand for that kind of stuff. And listen, you have a right. Woo! We got some things we're going to pray for at the end of this service. You have a right to just make sure that when your darkest moment came, just like the writer of that psalm, they got a call and heard that their baby might not make it. And he said that fear stood in front of him like a giant mountain. And in that moment where fear was there, and he could have just started confessing what the doctors had said, he could have just said, this is it, it's the end, I guess we better be glad that we had our child for a couple years. In the middle of that, he said, man, God just came upon him. And he said, right now I need to lift a praise, even though it's agonizing, even though it's painful, even though it's hurtful. Listen, weapons are going to be formed against you. The Bible declares it. The enemy is going to form weapons to try to destroy your faith, typically right after you step towards God deeper than you ever have. And I'm telling you, we had better lift our voices and pray, because God will supernaturally change things when we do what's right. Amen.
When we got a phone call from my son.
Oh, my goodness.
On the way over here.
Yeah.
And he's, it's weird because he's working, and they're supposed to come tomorrow, and you can tell something's wrong, Mom. We're not coming tomorrow. I said, what's wrong? And he just starts crying.
Amen.
I don't care care if your baby's 50. I'm sure if they cry, it's going to make you cry.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And he said my wife was rushed to the hospital.
Amen.
And he was at work. She's there in different towns. And he's just worried. And he keeps crying. And the first thing I say is stop. Phil, pray now.
Amen.
Phil, pray now.
Hallelujah.
Listen, when somebody calls you and they need help.
Praise God.
And they don't know what to do.
Amen.
Listen, we need to be there. And we need to be full. And we need to be ready to give them exactly what they need.
Amen.
There's nothing physical in the physical thing that we can do in a situation like that. But there's something in the natural that we can do. It's bigger than anything in the spirit.
Amen.
And so Phil prayed. He calmed down.
Amen.
And we'll get updates later. But
amen. Yeah, victory. God, this is what we're...
So when that song is playing, I have to stop because I'm almost crying because I'm like, God, I don't care what this storm looks like. This is what's inside of me. This is what's in my spirit as I'm singing the song. I don't care what this storm looks like. I know that you've got this.
Amen.
I know
Amen.
That you've got her.
Amen.
I know that you're watching over
Hallelujah.
Her. I know that we have a covenant with you.
Amen.
And she is now my seed.
Amen. Praise God.
And me and my seed.
Shall
Amen.
Be saved. Amen.
Amen. So he's got her.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, we're going to let the children go to children's church. Praise God. And if you haven't been by the land, I will tell you that the contractors are on the move. We got our plumbing out there. Hallelujah. I had to go double check, but we will have working restrooms in our new facility. Praise God. Hallelujah. We will have running water in our new facility. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Those are all blessings of the Lord. So if you go out by there, you'll see the white pipes up in the air capped off. And so I'm telling you that we need some electrical wiring ran. And once that electrical wiring is ran, then we'll be ready here in the next week or two to pour concrete out there. And then once concrete is poured, the building will go up. So we are on track for us to see something erected between the end of May and the first part of June, somewhere through down the 6th, 15th of June, somewhere in there. I want to give lots of leeway because contractors have a lot of good hopes and a lot of good dreams. Just like me, sometimes I say, honey, I'm going to be home at 5:30. And at 7:15, well, hallelujah, let's get out of that quick. At any rate, we got things moving, so God is good. So, who has a real quick testimony of something good that God just did for you that just made you shout a little bit? Who has a testimony? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Are you coming to give one? Well, speak loud. Yes. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen.
I was doing some training and hurt my hip real bad.
Amen.
Real bad. Down a couple days. Just get hurt. Felt real bad.
Yeah.
People prayed for me.
Amen. Hey, come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't think so. That's powerful. You know, I just heard a No, I was about to say, Brian, that's a great dance, brother. That's a Holy Ghost dance. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, God is a good God. I'm telling you. He's an amazing God. I just heard an interesting story. I was in church last night, and a guy was telling the story, and he said, hey, he went on a trip with his grandkids, and he had a pain in his neck that was hurting him for 3 days. And he said that he was so bound up, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't go on the big rides. He was riding the kiddie rides with his one grandson, letting everything else go. And he said he got to the third day, and he had a degenerative issue before that he got healed from. And immediately the devil said, see, this is back on you. He says, and you are going to go from where this pain that you've been suffering these 3 days. He says, if you ride any of these crazy rides, that pain is going to cause permanent damage, and you're not going to walk. Said you are going from pain to paralysis. And the guy said that something stirred in him, and he said, you know, I'm in the perfect place in the perfect time for Jesus to prove you to be a liar. And he got up, and were they at Kings Island or someplace crazy? Cedar Point. And whatever the most dangerous, wild roller coaster ride is there, he said to his son or somebody, he said, hey, we're going to that roller coaster. In severe pain, can't move, and he just said, I'm going to that roller coaster. And he got on that roller coaster, and he sat down, and he put his thing on, and he said he was in severe pain, and he said that that thing took off and dropped whatever it dropped, 80 foot or whatever, and it got to the bottom, and as soon as it got to the bottom, he said it went bam and jerked him up, and he went, whoa, all the pain's gone. And he said, take me to the next one, and take me to the next one. And he just left there full of faith, full of healing, because instead of letting that still, quiet voice of that lion dog devil send him on a fear train and tell him the outcomes that the devil was trying to get him, he declared the outcomes that God wanted him to have. Amen? You have got to take authority over your life and let God speak to you, and then you put in action what God speaks. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, with that testimony being said, God, we're taking up the offering right now, Father. We're taking up the offering because we just are going to rejoice, God, how much you make room in our lives for you, God. Father, when we trust you in every area, you have 7,000 promises, God, that you will not fail us. You will not fail us in any way, shape, or form, God. And God, we have got to be people that don't just talk, but that we walk the walk of faith, God. And Lord, I just thank you. God, I was just sitting there looking at Brian as he walked up here, God. Father, I thank you that he's a part of this family. And God, I thank you that you are just growing him and Holly in great abundance, Father. And Lord, that you will meet and exceed every need and every desire, Father. And Lord, you will keep us safe. You'll keep us healed. You'll strengthen us. You'll meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory. You'll rebuke the devourer on our behalf, and you will pour out blessing that we won't even have room enough to contain. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bring your tithes and offerings to the front. Praise the hallelujah.
Praise the hallelujah.
I'll praise the hallelujah.
Praise the hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I want to talk to you tonight about the fact that we are to be led of the Spirit. And anytime we are going to be led, anytime we are going to be led, it means that we must be guided. It means that we must be connected. It means to show or show the way, lead the way, to usher in, to escort, to steer, to pilot, to shepherd, to accompany, to see, or to take you somewhere. And if you're going to be led, you are going to have to see, and you are going to have to hear. Say this with me, I need to see, and I need to hear. And I want you to know something, that the Lord speaks directly to his people. I want you to know something, that the Bible says that the good shepherd, his sheep will know his voice. The Bible also says that there are, as it were, so many voices in the world, and none of them without significance. So if there's no other time that my voice is significant, it's right now in this moment when I'm preaching the gospel. But what I want you to know is that when we think about voices in the earth and in the world and in our life, seriously, voices come our way to direct something. And voices will either help or voices will hurt our life. And I want you to know something, that we have got to be aware of the voice of God. We have to discern voices that are speaking to us. And you got to be careful, because the devil can manifest as an angel of light. And if you're not careful, you will have thoughts or words come into you that are no more God than the man on the moon. And they are no more you speaking than the man on the moon. Sometimes if you're not careful, the devil will speak to you and you will listen. Whenever I hear someone start to disparage themselves, whenever I hear someone that feels worthless, whenever I hear someone that feels like their actions of the past are still on them today and are lingering and have to build their future, and when I hear people can't speak about the future, can't change things, and all they can do is reference the past and reference how bad it is and reference how dark it is and reference how it's limiting my life and how my past is what's holding me back and you're holding me back and this is holding me back and everything is someone else's fault. When I start to hear those things, I'm telling you that I know that the voice of God is not speaking. And what I want you to know is that we all, as people who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have a right that the Lord says, my sheep will know and hear my voice. The other day, we were in a store, and Regina was a ways away from me, and she said, hey, Phil. And immediately I said, yes. And people behind me started laughing, and they said, oh, I thought the one girl's name was Jill. And she said, oh, I thought someone called my name. I said, listen to me. I said, I hope you hear 1,000 voices that call your name. I said, but I'm telling you right now, when I hear that voice that calls my name, I could have 10,000 people around me, 100,000 people around me. When I hear that voice call my name, I'm going to know it. I'm going to hear it. That voice is going to get my attention. And they started laughing. But it's true. Listen. So I came back from Africa saying that I wanted to be like a big lion. Because they were over there resting and doing whatever they wanted to and roaring around. And nobody messed with a big lion. And then guess what I heard? A lion can hear the voice of the pride 5 miles away. So in other words, a big lion can hear a lioness call his name halfway to Dunkirk. And what's really scary is he can run at 60 miles per hour. So in 5 minutes, he can be 5 miles away at her beck and call. I said, Lord, I can only hear her voice so far, and it's hard enough to be at her beck and call. At the toad, I can hear her voice. I don't need to hear it 5 miles away without my cell phone. Hallelujah. Because that's even more of an advantage. But I said that to you to say this. God has ordained it that you can hear him speak to you. And I don't want anybody who serves the Lord to ever believe that you can't hear God and that God doesn't speak to you. Now, be quite frank with you. Oftentimes, we don't like what God has to say. And I'll be quite frank with you, sometimes people will hear what God has to say and they try to throw it away because they don't want to be accountable to what he has to say. But I want to caution you not to do that, because you need to make sure that you stay where God puts you, that you are humble enough to receive God's voice, and that you are obedient enough to want to do things His way, even if you have to humble yourself, even if you have to repent, even if you have to throw down pride and say, I was wrong, even if you have to make adjustments, even if you have to be kind to someone who's been mean to you, even if you have to stretch towards people that you don't know if you even like, let alone feel comfortable enough to trust, you are going to have to humble yourself before God and put yourself, before God and put ourselves in God's hands and trust Him to bring us through whatever challenges and fears we have. Amen? Now, I'm saying this to you because I want you to know something. Not only do you have the right to hear God, you have the love, the mercy, the honor, and the grace provision of God to hear Him. And what's good about hearing God is that if you can allow God to speak, then you will step outside of the limits of the natural world, and you will step into the provisions of the supernatural realm of God. There was one time a man in the Bible who was possessed with legions of devils. And in the Hebrew and Greek, way back then, they said legions could be as few as 3,000 or more than 12,000. Listen, half of us can't handle one devil. Half of us can't handle a bad attitude that we perceive to be a devil. Hallelujah. Some of us can't handle a little hollering or a little offense or someone not shaking our hand or someone not saying hello. The slightest little thing, especially Christians who are supposed to be the most powerful beings on the earth other than the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Quite frankly, I love you, but I ain't seen more sensitive, weak-minded, weak-hearted, offendable little people than Christians in all of my life. Now, not here, not in this church. Hallelujah. I mean, I'm not talking about anybody here, but I'm just talking about in general. Most times, here we are, the empowered, supernatural offspring of God. And we can't even get a hangnail without falling apart. And heaven forbid the pastor that pats you on the back and encourages you 6 months out of the year gets to that one time that he's got to give you a firm word of correction and you can't handle that. You just buckle like the whole world's falling apart. No. We have got to be people, in all honesty, that rise above that stuff and live our life unoffendable. Because only then will we overtake the enemy and kick his teeth in like we all should and live the life of victory that belongs to us. Listen, you'll never find a person in the Bible who did not have to come to the end of themselves, who did not face fear, who did not face difficulty and doubt, who not even questioned themselves. You're going to find out that people in the Bible, they're not written about because they had easy, floaty, easy-to-get-done lives. They're written about because they were the real people in their generation that needed the touch of God. And God wanted every one of us to know that in our weaknesses, in our mistakes, in our failures, in our fears, in the abuses that other people put in our life, in the disappointments that come upon our life, God wants you to know that every generation has seen that, every generation has dealt with that, but every generation that succeeded were the people that reached towards Jesus and ran towards Him no matter what came hardship at their life. Amen? Listen to me. I want you to know that every generation has difficulty. And tonight I want to just talk to you about a few moments in the Bible where we should hear what the Lord says. And one of them, I just want to read a scripture here in Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 10, it says, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Now, listen to me. I want you to know something. That he says, "I've set you into the nations and over kingdoms to sit down, to relax, and to have it easy. To remember that my son Jesus has done it all and now you don't have to do anything." No, he says, "I've set you here in order for you to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down." Oh, wait a minute. Now, once we do that, then we get to build, and then we get to plant. See, I want you to understand something. The weapons of your warfare are mighty through God for the pulling down. In other words, a very important part of your Christian faith, once you get saved, is to clean up the atmosphere you live in. Hello? Change your behavior. Hear God's voice to tell you what to do and what not to do. I want you to know I love it when I start getting phone calls and people say stuff to me, Pastor, you know, I got my old rock and roll collection around here that I used to listen to all the time when I took acid and went and fought and just when I was mean, it's just sitting here. And, you know, I started to play a song today and it just didn't feel right. And I really believe God's wanting me to just get rid of all this stuff. Hallelujah! I have an absolute confidence that that household is beginning to hear God and they're beginning to clean out, sanctify, and set in order an atmosphere of peace, an atmosphere of God, an atmosphere of goodness. I love it when I had a guy that used to gamble all the time and he said, listen, he said, I used to go gamble at this place in Troy. They had a place where you could go play pool and in the back they had all these gambling machines. It was illegal. He used to go back there. And he said, so I quit going there to gamble. He said, but you know, you can do that on the internet now. He says, but I even got to the point where I'm so convicted that I just got rid of that stuff. I said, come on, brother, that is victory. When you start tearing down places that are not of God, then I'm telling you, you are starting to tear out, tear down, clean out, and you're getting ready to build, and you're getting ready to plant. Amen? Hallelujah. One of the biggest things Christians need to clean out is fear, and we're going to get to that on Sunday, but tonight I want to tell you something here in this word that he says, now, once you get ready to build and plant, listen to this. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And I'm not going to go into all the explanation of that, but it was a very good thing. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I'm telling you that when you start living where God wants you to live and you start making the choices to live in the godly way God asks you to live, I'm telling you, God will heal things fast. And he will start building a future and he'll start bringing peace. He'll start bringing joy. He'll start releasing power. He'll start bringing salvation, peace, and grace. He'll start healing relationships. He'll start pouring out. And I'm telling you, God will hasten himself to perform his word. Well, the Lord's been pretty slow in my life. Yeah, because you ain't giving him much to work with. Bunch of resistance, a bunch of attitude, a bunch of negativity. You even call yourself unworthy when you look in the mirror, even though the Lord's cleansed you with his blood. Even though he's made you whiter than snow. Even though he's released the debt of sin and death and darkness off of you, unfortunately, most Christians want to spend more time posting it, living in it, celebrating it, talking about it, than they ever do throwing it down and starting to speak what God has declared over you. Listen, one of the first things I did with my salvation is I said, God, I'm going into this mirror and I'm going to talk to myself. Now, Dave, not because I was cocky and puffed up and thinking I was all that in a bag of trip. That was all true. No, I couldn't wait. I had to say it. No. But I went in to face my fears. And my fear was that I had waited too late. I'd missed God. I got saved when I was 5, but I got backslidden. And I had to get all of that out of me. And I had to start saying, Philip Walker, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Philip Walker, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Philip Walker, that strange sounding little voice is the only little voice that's ever going to sound off like you. Philip Walker, You are a man of God. You're not a man of violence. You're not a man of hatred. You're a man of kindness. You don't have wrong motive towards people. Philip Walker, you love people. You care about people. You're going to be nice to people. And you invest in people's lives. Have you ever took that mirror that it talks about? That says it'll be changing you from glory to glory. Have you ever took the mirror of the word and found out what the Bible says about the kindness, the gifts of the Spirit, and the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit that belongs to you? Have you ever taken that and start saying, whoa, 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 I need to quit thinking and speaking about myself wrongfully. This is who I am. Quit saying, well, I'm just not a kind person. I'm just not someone who cares or feels real deep. I'm not someone that puts myself out there. I'm a loner. I'm introverted. I kind of stick to myself. Liar! Now, you may never see yourself differently, but God sees you differently. God made you differently. And shame on you if you take the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost and you carve yourself in some false identity and you live a miserable life because you choose to keep it. Shame on you. And I love you when I say that. Because I will tell you who you are. You are the beloved. You are the blessed. You are the life of God in Christ Jesus. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You are kind. You are gentle. You are powerful. You are not selfish at all. You are motivated. You trust others. You believe in others. And even when you give into others and they don't act right and you get nothing out of it, you still treat them kind and rejoice. And you still have hope for their salvation. That is who you are. So if I start challenging you when you try to tell me who you are, and it's outside of the identity of what God has said you are, don't be surprised. Because God is going to speak to you, and you need to hear His voice. You need to read this Bible, and you need to see how many times God interrupted people and told them who they really were. The Lord had to come up to Moses, and Moses said, ha, ha, ha. God, I can't speak. Well, I'll give you Aaron for a small season. But I didn't put the words in Aaron's mouth. I put them in your mouth, Moses. And I declared that you're going to speak and you're going to set my people free. Esther, don't sit here and try to act like you're not called, young lady. Don't you do that. Don't hide and pretend like something bad ain't going to come on you if you just hide in the king's palace, because you were sent to the kingdom for such a time as this. Well, pray for me and fast for me, and pre-adventure, I will go and I will speak and I will see if I shall be heard. It's about time for some of you to get out of fear and start being heard. And not a fleshy, carnal way, but in the realm of the Spirit, in the kindness of God, with the voice of the compassion of Jesus Christ empowering you to walk and speak and talk the way you were meant to. Say amen. Hallelujah. I want to remind you that in the Bible, every man and woman of God could hear from the Lord even years ago. This is how it was. Should not be surprising to you that God speaks to people. He created people. The highlight of his day was to come and talk to Moses in the cool of the garden. He's always talked to people. And he'd love to talk to you. Wait a minute, did you hear what I said? God would love to talk to you. But we're going to have to turn off carnal things so he can. I don't know if I believe God. I believe God will do something for someone else, but why would he talk to me? I'm just this and that. My little problems, God's not in. I don't want to bother him. Listen, you could bother God 24/7. You don't have enough in you to take up so much time that he can't answer you, everybody else, 1,000 times over, and still be sitting there saying, could you people please ask me for more and give me something to do? I mean, you can't even get the angels assigned to you busy enough that they get to go to heaven every day and receive things for you and bring it. You can't keep your own angels busy. You certainly can't keep God busy. Not like he'd like to be. If he's answered you 1,000 times, he's sitting there excited saying, ask me something else so I can answer you again. You're not a problem to God. Do you have a husband, a grandbaby, a child, a mother, a father, a friend, someone you look up to? Do you have anybody in your life that you like to do something good for? Anybody? Have you ever gave somebody a gift and been excited about it? Have you ever done something for someone and it gave you joy? Is it something that you'd like to do again? I mean, you might have just bought a present for your grandbaby, and you might have only been away from them a day or two, and you're already thinking about what you're going to buy them next time. I mean, some of you are so excited about your spouse that you don't just buy them something for Easter or for Christmas or for their birthday, but you buy them something during the week. Honey, I was at the store and I got this for you. Uh-oh. I hope I'm not saying something that ain't true. I believe this is true. Amen. And you bought yourself a pair too. You know, I'm just kidding. I know, I'm just teasing. She bought some boxing gloves for her grandson. And here's what's so funny about it. You're probably already thinking, what will I get him next? Every day, if he needs something, I'm going to get it. You know, I was with Pastor Dosey, and he went up to see his grandchildren. And while we were there, one of them didn't have bullets for some kind of gun he had. Now, first of all, they're so spoiled, they got several. They have bows and arrows. If they don't want to play bow and arrow, they could get their kayak out. They can get their boat out, their fishing pole, all this other stuff. And Pastor Dosick saw this one area in he said, what's wrong with you, grandson? Didn't I tell you that if you need anything, just let me know? What are you doing sitting around here without this? Just let me know and you'll have it. Now, I don't want to hear Pastor Phyllis weigh in on this, but I'm just telling you what Pastor Dosick said. But immediately I thought, God is a quadrillion times more kind-hearted and willing to do for us than even what a grandparent is willing to do. In fact, it's the kindness of God that stirs a grandparent. It's the kindness of God that stirs a parent. It's the kindness of God that stirs a spouse. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. But what I'm telling you is that when we see acts of kindness on the earth, it's not people motivated by themselves. It's the hand of God motivating people. So therefore, if God can motivate people to do good stuff, when we go directly to him, do you think you're going to get something different? I mean, he's the one who said, seriously, if you ask me for a piece of bread, am I going to give you a rock? No. If you ask me for a piece of fish, hallelujah. Am I going to give you a serpent or a scorpion? No. I'm going to give you a piece of fish, hallelujah. And so it's time for us as believers to see God. And I want you to know that he's been talking to people from the beginning. And I'm going to go, first of all, I just want to tell you something in Psalms chapter 78. Because sometimes people will constantly try to tell me what they haven't seen from God. And I like for them to understand it's their fault. Oh, I feel all of that. And I like it. Psalm 78, verse 36 says, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. How many times have we ignored God's covenant, kicked it to the side, been unforgiving, been bitter? In the middle of tough situations, we turned our back on God, began to murmur and complain, never prayed, let our flesh roar, complain, kick up our attitude. We've done all of this stuff, yet God in his mercy has been kind enough to forgive us. But listen to this. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness, grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back, tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, most people that are disappointed, well, I'm going to take that back. All people that are disappointed and frustrated with God, having a bunch of attitudes, all of them, it's because they've lied against him, talked bad about him, let fear, circumstance, and situations rule and rage, and they've limited the Holy One of Israel. Mark chapter 6 says, in his own land, Jesus could do no mighty works. Did it say because he was powerless in his own land? Did it say because he wasn't the Lord in his own land? No. It says because they would not believe him or receive him as who he was. I'm telling you, it's time for us to quit letting circumstances and our attitudes and the disappointment of people speak to our heart louder than what God is speaking. So that's all we do sometimes. It's time for us to not do that. Because if we will listen to God, he will say, yes, I will heal. Yes, I will set free. And yes, I'll bring forth. And yes, I will fix. And yes, I will bring you out. Don't limit the Holy One. Now, I'm going to go right to a time where King David was in one of those moments. You know, remember, King David is the one who went in and risked his life for Saul and everybody, and he took out Goliath. And he began to serve Saul, and he was so diligent at what he did. People started saying, that King David, that David is really doing a great job. And because David did such a good job, instead of loving him, respecting him, honoring him, and seeing from God that David was a blessing to Saul, who was already king, and David was honoring him as king, he became fearful of David and started trying to kill David. And so we come up to where Saul has been chasing David. Saul has been against David. His men have heard him praying. And so his men knows that God spoke to David and said that, David, when it comes to you, I will deliver your enemies into your hands. And we see throughout David's story, my goodness, in the next couple of weeks, we'll look one time the Lord spoke to David and said, listen, when I just rustle the wind through the mulberry trees, get up and throw down, brother, because I'm going to kill them all for you. Amen. So God spoke directly to David. But I want you to see that at this time, David was in a cave with his men. And even his men were stirred in the spirit, and they knew that God was about to deliver Saul into David's hands. And I just want you to hear what is said to King David before he's even king. He's in the cave. His men are with him. Saul comes in, and Saul's chasing him to kill him. But Saul comes into a cave to rest. And it happens to be the cave that David is hiding in. And Saul doesn't know it. And in... I'm sorry. I got to go to 1 Samuel. Ooh, did I say 1 Samuel to you guys? Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. And I'm saying this to stir your heart to know that you are going to be led of God in your life today, because the Lord was leading people even before Jesus went to the cross and before we had the power of the right to receive the Holy Ghost. So David is in a cave hiding, him and his men. Saul has been chasing them all over the countryside trying to kill them. So Christians, David is not having the greatest of time right now. He's under stress. He's under pressure. He's had to leave his home. He's living in caves. And every day he's finding out when Saul's coming, and he has to run and hide from him. But even so in that stressful time, David was hearing God speak to him. And I just want you to hear this, because sometimes people think that God has to speak in some big audible voice for us to hear him. Sometimes people think that God is going to use a big dream every time. You know, I had a young man the other day told me, "Phil, now, and God's really going to have to do something for me to do this or that. I'm telling you, I'm going to have to know it's God." I said, "Didn't you tell me that you were worshiping and praying and God spoke to you and told you to do this?" "Well, yeah, but that, so now that you're offended, now that you're upset because you took a few steps and it didn't work out perfectly and you didn't get your result, now all of a sudden God speaking to you in your prayer time, God speaking to you in a moment of worship isn't good enough. Now all of a sudden he has to ride a white horse through the wall, shake the whole valley, and speak in a thunderous voice from heaven for you to move." No, I don't think so. Roger, how does your wife speak to you? Amen. Not very nice. I love it. But when she speaks to you, Roger, does she come riding in with a bunch of horses? When she speaks to you, does the police come by her side and traipse in and pull their guns and speak to you? No. All she has to do is either call on the phone or yell at us, or whatever they want to do, right? But it's their voice speaking to us, and we hear them. Amen? Amen. I know, brother. So I want you to know, how is God going to speak to you? The majority of the time, God is going to speak to your spirit. A thought's going to come, and you're going to know it's God and not you. Because oftentimes it'll be something you wouldn't have done. It'll be something that you wouldn't have thought of. And it's like, "What? Really? You want me to do what?" And then you're going to try to fight it all the way. So when God speaks to us, he's speaking to us. And I want you to recognize that in these Bible stories, God is speaking to the men and the women of the Bible just like he speaks to you today. We just have to pay attention to the words. So we're going to look and see, how does King David, soon to be king, get spoken to by God in the middle of a cave when he has Saul sleeping in front of him and he could kill him? It says, "It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, 'Behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes. By the way, there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave." So Saul, who's seeking to kill David, ends up going to rest in a cave that David's right there in the wall with his sword. "And the men of David said unto him, 'Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee.' Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily." So now let me tell you what's going on here. David and his men are hiding in the cave. Saul comes in and goes to sleep. David's men, who knew, they've heard David pray. David's come and said, "Hey, the Lord's told me that he'll deliver our enemies into our hands. Hey, it ain't always going to be this way. It's going to turn around." David has spoken to his men. His men remember that. And his men say, hey, David, God's been faithful to you. Saul, the man who's been trying to kill you, is right here. Take that big sword that you cut the head off Goliath of, because Saul ain't nearly as big as Goliath. You don't even have to swing full. You can make a half stroke and cut his puny little head off. Go ahead and get him. God's given him to you. So David was sensing God because he went first and just cut off a little piece of Saul's robe. So there must have been something holding him back from slaying Saul. Now hear this. So he snuck up, David arose, and he went up and he cut a little piece of Saul's robe off. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. God speaks to the men and women of the Bible the same way he speaks to us. When you overreach and when you do something that God's not pleased with, he just smotes your heart or pricks your heart or just touches you. A little condemnation comes. Oh, no, why did I say that? Oh, no, why did I do that? Because you are about to overstep and do and act in a way that God does not want you to act in a situation. So the Lord will prick our heart and make us aware of that ugly feeling, lets us know, I didn't speak right, I didn't do right, my action was not pleasing to God. Now listen, just like it is for you, you know that when something goes wrong, immediately God speaks to you. And he starts showing you and telling you stuff. The same way it happens to you is the way it happened to David. David didn't get the walls to shake. God didn't appear to him. God just touched his heart, pricked his heart, smote his heart. And then David says to his men, after he just smote his heart, afterwards David's heart smote him. Because he'd cut off Saul's skirt. And this is what David got out of that transaction. He said unto his men, oh no, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. What? This guy's been trying to kill you. Shh. The Lord's anointed to touch forth mine hand against him. This is wrong, what David is saying. Seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words. In other words, once David spoke, hey, listen, I ain't killing Saul. His men said, ooh, if David ain't touching Saul, then we ain't touching Saul. Now, the next time you hear someone touching somebody in the church with words, with attitude, I want to make sure that you say, whoa, 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 this is wrong. Let's step back from this. And let God be the one who does what he does. So it says, so David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also rose afterward and went out of the cave and cried out, my Lord the king, why are you pursuing me? Obviously, I have no ill intent towards you. Amen. But what I want you to see, that this is proving to us that when you hear erroneous teaching today,
God doesn't speak to men. You can't take the Bible literally. Oh, that's just good moral talking, and there you just glean from the Bible, but you can't take it.
No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. The Bible is your roadmap to see how God spoke to other people and to know how God will speak to you. And your Bible is a roadmap so you can know for sure that God is communicating to you. God loves you and God will speak to you in the middle of situations and be led of how God speaks to you. Trust God speaking. You can hear him. You have heard him. You need to respond to him. Amen? Don't wait for the earth to shake Don't wait for every night to have a dream. Now, I pray these things happen. I pray God walks through your wall and talks to you. I pray Jesus gives you visions and dreams. But make sure that before you look for those things and before you expect those things, make sure that you can receive God speaking directly to your heart and you being humble enough and strong enough to believe what he said, even though you haven't seen, and make sure you adhere to what God speaks. Amen? I want you to know that there's someone in the church that came up to me the other day and said, Pastor, I received prayer over this. I went to the doctor over this. I did this. I did this. And you know what? The Lord kept telling me, just fast 3 days. And I discounted that. And I went for more prayer, and I went back to the doctor. And the other day, I just thought, what if this is God, and why don't I just do it? Said they fasted 3 days, and immediately they were healed. Remember, one time God told a man to go dip in an old river 7 times. And the guy said, why in the world would I do that? And I hate to say it, but there is a woman sensitive towards God. And she said, Master, not to upset you, but if the Lord had asked you to do a great thing, wouldn't you have done it? She said, so why don't you do this simple thing and see what happens? He went down and dipped 7 times and came up out of there completely healed and whole. Listen, God will speak to you in big vision, but God wants to speak to you on a daily basis. The other day I said something that's a revelation and I'm done. I said, sometimes we just go haphazard through life and we wait till the big explosion before we call out to God. And to be honest with you, if you would just listen to God on the small stuff and the day-to-day things, you wouldn't have big explosions. And stuff wouldn't overtake you and shake you and blow up like a big bomb. Let's move with God every day. Father, in the name of Jesus.